Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at the 21st verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, today's Psalm 26 says, "My foot stands on level ground. My foot stands on level ground in the great assembly. I will bless the Lord." Well, there are some people who call Peter, St. Peter, the fellow our church is named after, one of Jesus' disciples. There are some folks who call Peter the first pope. And they believe it so strongly that they actually built the church right on top of where he's buried. It's called St. Peter's Basilica or Cathedral. And in support of that, you'll hear folks say, well, look at last Sunday's gospel lesson. This is the lesson for last Sunday. And you remember Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And people said, well, this prophet or that prophet or this person or that person. And Peter responded in this way. Peter replied, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And those words, as with any of us, maybe set Peter to thinking. You know, if God's people, God's church, was like a ship, we even have a word for that. We call this part of our church the nave, like navy. It's like a ship upside down. If God's church, God's people were a ship, what would that make the Lord Jesus? Well, he would be what? The captain. Okay, he would be the captain. We got that down. What would that make Peter? First mate? Executive officer? Command master chief? Pope? What would that make Peter? Well, whatever title you want to use, Peter seems to have taken on the idea or seen himself in a new light that somehow he was responsible for advising or correcting the Lord. Advising or correcting the Lord, because that's what happens today. And if Peter was the first pope, if we even need to refer to him that way, if he was the first pope, he didn't start off too well, did he? Didn't do a very good job, did he? Today's gospel lesson says, and it records Peter's first official act as pope, the first pope. This is what it says. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But Jesus turned and said to Peter," what? "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God. You're setting your mind on the things of man." Peter's first official act, if we want to look at it that way, as the first pope, supposedly. And what does he do? His first official act is to do everything in his power to stop our Lord Jesus from saving the world. That's his first act. To stop Jesus from going to the cross to atone for our sins, to stop Jesus from being obedient to his Father's saving plan, that's his first official act. Now, where have you heard that same message, that same attempt, that same voice? At the very beginning of his ministry, Satan tempted our Lord Jesus 3 times with the intent of getting him off the path to the cross, off the path of his Father's will, so that the world would not be saved. And now Satan comes to our Lord through the voice of a friend, a disciple. And you could say, well, Peter's intentions were good. His tone was kindly. His manner was earnest. His admonitions wise. And not a bit of it mattered. The scripture says, Romans chapter 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And if you're not led by the Spirit of God, then what are you being led by? What's out there? But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now, looking at that a little bit deeper, we see something else going on. We see that Peter was trying to save our Lord's life. But why did Jesus come into the world? Did he come into the world to save his life? Is that why Jesus came? For you or Peter to save his life? Or did he come into the world for you and Peter to save our lives? To be our Savior, to be our Redeemer? Today's Gospel. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples, in other words, turning the pages of Scripture, show his disciples that he, not somebody else, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the 3rd day be raised. Now looking a little deeper still, because the heart and mind of man are deep, as the scripture says, and that's not a compliment. Looking at it deeper still, you're going to see something else. Not only did Peter want to save Jesus' life, Peter wanted what? To save his own life. And the Lord knows that's a real big issue for him. That's a central issue, because that's what the whole text deals with. You want to save your life. Mind and heart of man are deep. You know how it is. You know your own self. Our good motives are so often mixed with what? Something else. Some alternative motive. Some kind of thing that we aren't even aware of until we look at it 2 weeks later. But the Lord knows. And like the scripture says, he divides between the intentions and thoughts of the heart. And on more than one occasion, Peter showed that he was afraid of what he would lose if he went with Jesus. He was afraid of what he would lose. Do you think that way? I do. That's often how we think. What are we going to lose if we go with the Lord? If we follow in the paths that the Lord has set for us, rather than what we will gain. And what do we gain in Jesus? We gain pardon. We gain cleansing. We have a place prepared for us together with the Lord. And so our Lord Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow after me. Whoever wants to save his life," in other words, his earthly life, "will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Because what profit is it for a person if they gain the whole world and they lose their soul? And what can you give as an equivalent for your soul? For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will pay back to each according to his actions." In other words, the last day is coming, the final judgment, and you want to be with the Lord, not on the other side. Is it hard? Is the way dangerous? Is it scary? Yes, but it's even harder and scarier and more dangerous if you're not found with Jesus on the last day. But remember, as a child of God, how things end up. How do they end up if you're a child of God? If you know Jesus, you know your sins are forgiven. It ends with, as we say in our creed, the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come, seeing the Son of Man in his kingdom. You say along with the psalm writer, my foot stands on level ground in the great assembly. I will bless the Lord, the assembly of those standing before him in everlasting life. And so it was that Jesus began to show his disciples that it was necessary for him to depart to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders and the high priests and the scribes and to be killed on the third day. And it was necessary because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the sacrifice that came through Christ Jesus. Was Peter the first pope? What does it matter? What does it matter if there is a pope or there is not a pope? What matters is the salvation we have in Jesus. And we need it. Peter is a perfect demonstration of that. Because he failed and fell short many a time. We talk about people like that. We want to elevate one person over another. We talk about good people, better people, best people. Maybe it's best just to keep our mouths shut, to recognize that's not to have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. And instead, to recognize that in the way that the Lord dealt with Peter, he deals with us. What did Peter do three times? Three times. What did he do? He denied the Lord. And what did Jesus say to him three times after his resurrection? He said, feed my sheep. Lead my people. Be a shepherd to my flock. I've got a job for you. That was God's grace. That was his word of grace to him. The Lord said to him, you know what? Three strikes, you're out. But in my kingdom, three strikes and you are in. Because it's not about your strikes or your home runs. It's about my grace and my mercy. When you have my grace and you have my mercy, then you know your foot stands on level ground in the great assembly. You'll bless the Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.